Chapter 2. As the sun rose the next morning, Nisha and Priya talked in their sleep and woke up, sweating profusely. Quinn suddenly woke up. "Mom, I dreamed about them," Priya said. Nisha reached down to Priya, who was still in the sleeping bag on the floor, and put her hand on her shoulder. "You're sweaty. We're here. I dreamed about them too."
"Who?" Quinn said.
They both struggled to talk. Nisha tried to describe it. "They were like, silence.
"They? Like what?" Quinn said.
"It's hard to explain. I couldn't visualize them clearly. I dreamed about hazy figures moving about. The sounds were the same as yesterday. The sounds seemed to come from them, but they weren't speaking out loud. It's like tinnitus, but it has patterns to it. Sorry, I'm not making sense." Priya nodded her head as she put her sleeping bag on the bed and climbed in. Nisha tried to explain.
"It sounded as though they were all speaking at once in my mind. I couldn't hear them clearly enough to pick out words."
"Did these voice sounds have any words?" Quinn said. "It's weird," Priya said. "In my dream, they were talking, but all the words were jumbled together. They were talking too quickly for me. What I picked up made me think of a stream of consciousness. It was dark, and I could barely see anything."
"Neither could I," Nisha said. "I gazed out a big window. Saturn and its rings were outside. I dreamed of Saturn, but I didn't see it. I felt it, and I knew it was Saturn. I'm not explaining this well."
"Nish, you're usually the logical one, but this time I'm confused," Quinn said. "Are you telling me aliens are contacting you and Priya?"
"Well, I don't think they're trying to communicate, if they exist at all," Nisha said. "I think we're overhearing them, or it. In class yesterday, I said I'd be excited to encounter or learn about real extraterrestrial life. But now I'm anxious, and I don't want to know anymore. We've never found evidence of extraterrestrial intelligence. I'm sure there's some rational, non-extraterrestrial explanation for all of this."
"Rational?" Quinn said. "Now that's the Nisha we all know and love."
She asked her agent about mass hysteria. She reviewed the information. "Check this out." Someone on Reddit called the sounds mass hysteria, so I did some research. Mass hysteria refers to the collective delusions of threats to society, which can spread rapidly through rumors and fear. Mass hysteria can be anything from people dancing for days on end until they die, to thousands of people thinking polluted water has turned sweet, to people laughing until they become sick. Thousands of people can get rashes with no known cause. The delusions can start with one person having something real happen to them. Soon after, others think the same thing too, and the delusion spreads like a meme.
"Is this happening now?" Quinn said.
Nisha glanced at Priya, raising her eyebrows.
"No way,"
they both said simultaneously. "We heard the sounds at the same time with no chance for a meme or rumors to spread," Nisha said.
"Oh, look at the time. We gotta go," Nisha said.
They got up, ate a quick breakfast, and walked to the front door.
"Okay, I have to go to the auditorium for my class. I'll see you tonight, Quinn."
"Okay, Nish. Bye, Pri," he said.
"Bye, Daddy."
Nisha dropped off Priya at school and drove on autopilot to Caltech. She didn't trust herself to drive on manual, though she never trusted autopilot. She walked onto the stage 10 minutes early. The auditorium was full. The crowd estimator in her eyepiece counted 500 students and only 400 seats. Nisha felt a buzz of excitement in the room. The air conditioning didn't help much to cool things down.
"Okay, everyone, settle down."
Slowly, the noise decreased and the auditorium settled into dead silence. "I had a lecture planned for today about the exciting details of our most recent discoveries of ancient life on Mars. What would be more exciting than that?" She could hear a pin drop. She scanned the crowd and concentrated on presenting a calm appearance. "However, I wish to discuss a few things that happened since we last met. Yesterday, three of your fellow classmates simultaneously heard static-filled, voice-like sounds in our minds.
Me too.
The sounds were also heard around the world.
How many of you know about this?"
Most raised their hands.
"Good.
Yesterday, around 6 p.m. local time, the sounds came again. They're like a crowd of voices. They were heard over half of the world each time. The Earth turned one-third of a revolution in the 8 hours between the first two occurrences of the voices. When I plotted the Reddit location data on Google Virtual Earth, I realized the voices must be originating from off the planet." Mr. Kepler broke the silence.
They were from the Klingon homeworld, after all.
I knew it! The students chuckled. Nisha smiled and glanced up at the ceiling as the morning light reflected up onto it. A few beads of perspiration appeared on her forehead. She resisted wiping them off. She didn't want to frighten anyone.
Well, if the Klingon homeworld is directly behind Saturn, then you're right, Nisha said.
The students turned to each other, whispering. Let me explain. This morning the voices, or whatever, came back. After doing some calculations, they originate from the general direction of Saturn. The audience let out a hushed gasp. Some in the audience smiled, as if they were waiting for the punchline of some elaborate joke.
The transmissions might be originating from in front Saturn or behind it. I don't know yet. I say this because in all three instances, 99% of the posts came from the side of the Earth facing Saturn, while few posts originated from the half of the Earth facing away from Saturn. The voices seemed to rise and fall like the sun once per day. They rose here around breakfast time, and last night they set around dinner time. Saturn is nearly behind the sun from our perspective right now, so this makes sense for the voices to rise and fall with sunrise and sunset.
Sounds like mass hysteria to me, Mr. Kepler shouted. A few students in the audience clapped.
Funny you should mention that, Nisha said. Mass hysteria is a real documented phenomenon. As a scientist, I must ask myself if I'm imagining these voices and visions. I dreamed about Saturn this morning. Is this part of the hysteria? In the dream, I thought the voices came from near Saturn, not on it. I might have generated a vision in my own mind. I don't know for sure. I'll keep an open mind. These voices might be real. I'm a scientist. Mass hysteria doesn't happen instantaneously all over the world.
A student in front said, "Do you think they're real?"
Nisha paused for a drink of water.
Yes, I think they're at least real in the minds of the 1% of the population who are affected. What convinces me they're real is how the hard data favors the hypothesis that the voices originate off-planet. I'm not saying they're from some intelligent alien species. However, something real is happening that's affecting people in a tangible way all at once. It's not mass hysteria.
How many of you think this is mass hysteria?
About 25% of the students raised their hands.
Good, she said. I like a healthy dose of skepticism. I would be more skeptical too if I hadn't experienced them myself.
So if these voices are real, what are the potential causes besides aliens in some spaceship? Mr. Kepler said.
Nisha didn't respond to the question and began to sweat.
What did you say? She said.
He repeated the question.
If these voices, are you okay?
Nisha fell into a trance for a few seconds and snapped out of it.
I'm sorry, everyone, the voices came back again. How many of you heard them?
She took another drink of water. Four students raised their hands. She felt a chill shoot down her spine and into her toes.
I noticed the same three students as yesterday, but you're someone new. Were you here yesterday?
No, said the fourth student. I came today because my friends told me to come. The voices came through a bunch of static, but they were clearer today than yesterday, like variable ringing in my ear.
Yeah, they sound a little louder too, with less static, Nisha said.
The other three students agreed.
It's as though they're closer or louder or both. Raise your hands if you heard them today, but not yesterday.
No hands went up.
So you either can receive them or not. Those who haven't experienced the voices may never be affected. Among you four, did any of your family members hear the voices?
All four students raised their hands.
Okay, so genetics may play a role in your ability to receive the voices.
Or mass hysteria runs in families, Mr. Kepler proclaimed.
Nisha smiled and glanced up to the ceiling again. The class chuckled.
Or mass hysteria. This could be true despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary. I've been accused many times of being hysterical.
Maybe. Hold on.
Nisha got another incoming message in her eyepiece from Priya.
Mom, the voices came back again. They're louder. I'm getting headaches.
Nisha scanned the class. Her smile disappeared.
Sorry about that. My daughter just heard the voices.
Nisha messaged back to Priya.
Me too. In lecture. All will be okay. X-X-O.
Okay, sorry, Nisha told the class as her hands shook again. This is more evidence that susceptibility to the voices runs in families.
A student in front raised her hand.
What if these are real aliens with real ships and real weapons or diseases? What do we do? Well, we need to figure out where we stand compared to them. We're only now beginning to become a technological civilization. As I mentioned yesterday, many planets are older than ours. Chances are their technology would be far in advance of ours. I doubt we would be able to defend ourselves against them if they were aggressive. Let's hope they're peaceful. I'm still looking for other explanations for this phenomenon. I don't know if these are alien transmissions. They might be our own reflected TV and radio signals, or they might come from some planet or AI alien probe that reflects them by accident. I don't know yet, but I'll find out. We might be picking up our own internet traffic. Nisha didn't think the sounds were reflected transmissions from Earth, but she felt a need to be professional about it. She finished her lecture and walked outside into the hot, late summer day. She checked her Reddit community. She gained 250,000 members overnight for a total of 500,000. She noted the location of posts mentioning the sounds. The direction of the sounds shifted slightly. Nisha sent out 2 posts. The sounds might be our reflected TV/radio/internet transmissions. Origin direction has shifted. The ability to perceive the sounds seems to run in families. Genetics, perhaps? Priya and Sophie faced bullying at their high school because of the voices in their heads. They bullied Amy for being their friend. At lunch, they ate alone at a table in the corner of the cafeteria when a group of kids walked by. The biggest kid said, "Well, look who's hiding away in the corner. It's the loonies. They're still wearing shirts with 2 sleeves. One sleeve will be enough when they're sent away to the loony bin." The kids laughed and walked away. "I'll kick there," Priya whispered. "Shh," Sophie said under her breath. Priya imagined several different scenarios of retaliation, but didn't say anything. They finished lunch and walked back to class. Priya stood up in front of the class to give the second part of her report on genetics. Halfway through, the voices came back as she spoke. "I think in the near future, we'll be able to repair any defect and even..." Priya froze in place for a few seconds. She awakened and her hands shook visibly. A few students were giggling. "Shut up, jerks," she said. She ran out of the classroom with Sophie and Amy running after her. Priya messaged, "Mom, can you pick me up? Where are you?" A few seconds later, Nisha replied, "I'm heading home now. I'll be there in a few minutes. The voices are back." Priya picked up a rock and faced the big windows of her classroom. She imagined the rock crashing through the glass, startling everyone. Then she realized that she would be the prime suspect. She stared at the windows for a minute and dropped the rock. Nisha pulled up just as class ended. Sophie and Amy ran up to her in a panic. They got into the car and drove away from the school as the students exited the classrooms. Nisha understood they were both in distress. She tried to talk about it. Even though the car was driving on autopilot, she held the steering wheel tightly to disguise her shaking hands. "Pri, did you think they were louder this time?" "Yeah, Mom, they're louder. They don't sound human at all. I wish they would stop." For a second, I imagined the planet Jupiter through a giant window. It wasn't like a vision, though. It was like a dream. Sophie's face looked pale. "They spoke at such a fast pace. I couldn't understand if they were speaking a human language. I remember Jupiter also, but I didn't see it. It was a feeling." "I heard nothing," Amy said. "I'm thinking of some explanations. I think they're reflected radio transmissions. The odds of them being from an alien race are small, but we can't ignore the possibility since they come from a specific direction." They arrived home within a few minutes. Quinn and Sanjay weren't home yet. They walked straight to Nisha's computer to check the current events. Nisha did a quick calculation of the location of the latest posts. The origin had indeed shifted towards Jupiter, which had an angle of about 20 degrees of arc from Saturn at the time. Both were on the opposite side of the sun from the Earth. Nisha broke out in sweat again. "They moved," Nisha said. "I better post this right now." Reddit data. The direction of the sounds has moved from Saturn towards Jupiter. No mass hysteria. Priya pointed at the screen. "Mom, over 1 million people are in your community." Nisha raised an eyebrow and smiled. "You're right, Pri. There's no sense of good taste on the internet these days." The girls laughed. At the height of their laughter, Nisha read a message in her Reddit chat. She clicked on the sender link, u/DHSGov, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. She opened the message. "We would like to speak with you about your investigations into the unusual sounds phenomenon. Click on this link to download the Secure Transmissions app, ASAP, so we can discuss. Thank you." Nisha glanced at Priya and Sophie with big eyes. "Okay then,
Nisha said. Soon the app loaded on her computer after a thorough virus scan. She activated the initiate transmission button. On her monitor, several intimidating men in military uniforms sat behind a large table. Dark paneling set a solemn background.
Dr. Nisha Chandra, one of them said.
Yes, this is Nisha. My name is General Lucas Sherman. I'm the primary investigator into the possible military implications of the voices phenomenon. I'll report directly to President Martinez for the duration of this event. We're impressed with your work on the President's Council for the Exploration of Life on Mars.
Thank you, Nisha said as she noticed a rash breaking out on her arm.
How can I be of assistance today?
First, Dr. Chandra, your children must leave so we can speak in private. This is a sensitive topic.
Nisha waved to the kids and they left the room. They nearly closed the door but left a crack open so they could listen. The general continued.
Thank you. Now, is it true you've determined the direction of origin of the voice transmissions has changed?
Yes, she said. Every time the voices return, they are coming from a different direction based on the Reddit data. There's a pattern to the direction. First, the origin came from the direction of Saturn, and now it's from the general vicinity of Jupiter. I believe they're originating from near or inside our solar system.
The angle of origin has changed so much in the past day that a vessel would need to exceed the speed of light if the source were many times more distant than Pluto.
I understand, the general said. What do you think might be causing these voices? Do you have any hypotheses?
General, I'm a scientist. I search for the truth based on solid evidence and try not to engage in idle speculation. My guesses on this matter are based on no information. They're speculation.
The general smiled.
Your dedication to the scientific method is exactly why we've contacted you today. We don't want pseudoscience. Go ahead and speculate.
Nisha felt relieved. She hid her sweaty hands below the table so nobody could see them.
Okay, the voice-like transmissions are coming from off-Earth. As the Earth rotates, the origin stays in space. The course is moving in an arc ranging from Saturn towards Jupiter. None of my instruments or those of anyone of which I'm aware have detected these transmissions. They've only been detected in the human mind. However, I'm sure there's a real signal that can be received by instruments if we can find the correct frequency patterns.
She paused to drink some water.
Please continue, the general said. I'm hesitant to mention anything that happens in the mind because real data is difficult to harvest from the mind. The imagination doesn't produce reliable data. My initial estimate is 1% of the population of the Earth can mentally receive the voices or whatever they are. This may not seem like much. However, with more than 9 billion humans on Earth, the 1% adds up to over 90 million people. At first, I thought the effect must be some form of mass hysteria or an internet meme, with me being one of those affected. The problem is, mass hysteria spreads from one person to the next. This, however, affected everyone at once. The same people several times. Also, the ability to receive the voices hasn't spread beyond those initially affected. Therefore, I believe the source of these transmissions is off Earth and is real.
The general looked around at the others in the room.
Yes, this is what we've determined as well. We've been monitoring the situation. We're taking this seriously as a national security issue. We consider you to be the world's foremost expert on extraterrestrial life. So we'd like to employ you to be our primary investigator into the nature of this phenomenon. You would report directly to me and the president. If you agree, you must leave your post at Caltech. We need your full attention in this matter. We'll contact Caltech so you can return to your position when this event is behind us. Do you understand? Her image seemed to freeze on the screen in Washington, D.C. The DHS people thought the transmission had been interrupted. They attempted to reconnect when Nisha began to visibly shake.
Sorry about that, General.
The voices came back. They're growing louder and clearer. It's as though the source is getting closer to Earth. As they get louder, I realize they aren't voices as we understand them.
However, they sound intelligent and they're communicating in a language I don't understand or recognize.
I don't think they're trying to communicate with us. I think 1% of us are passively overhearing their communication.
The general glanced into his eyepiece for a moment.
I got a message from my daughter. The voices spoke to her friend again. This is a global problem. I'm working with my counterparts in countries around the world. Are you on board, Dr. Chandra?
Yes, General. I'll go on sabbatical at Caltech.
Tomorrow will be my last day. Please contact them to let them know about the situation. My career at Caltech spans 2 entire days, so I don't have much tenure. I want to return to Caltech when this is over.
The general smiled.
Great. We'll send you a more permanent secure communications app for your eyepiece and other devices so you can contact us at any time. The minute you know anything, we need to know. We'll send you instructions giving details on what we need from you. We've already done due diligence on you, and we've granted you full security access to my level. We're contacting another specialist at the CDC who may work with you. We haven't confirmed her yet.
Thank you, General, Nisha said. I'll continue to work on discovering all I can about the transmissions.
They signed off. Priya and Sophie ran into the room.
Were you guys listening? Nisha said.
How exciting! You're a spy for the government looking for aliens, Priya said.
I'm not sure if the voices are from aliens. I'm not sure what they are, but I do intend to find out. I'm not a spy.
She did like the sound of it, though. A spy seeking aliens.
Mom, they're not human, and they're intelligent. I felt them just now.
You did too, Sophie, right?
Yeah, they're like living computers. I'm having trouble breathing. I'm sweating like a pig. Are they coming here?
I'm not sure, guys, but I'm going to find out, Nisha said.
Quinn arrived home, and Nisha filled him in, attempting to act as though it was no big deal.
Nish, you can't fool me. I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure if I trust the government to do what's right.
I know what you mean, but there's a small chance they might be aliens. If they are, there's a big chance they're far more advanced than us. It could be a black swan event. Low probability, enormous impact. We need all the help we can get.
Oh, Quinn, can you get dinner on? The robot is acting weird, so I turned it off again. The voices came back again, and I want to locate the origin and find out if they've moved.
Okay, he said.
Nisha downloaded the new Reddit location dataset, and sure enough, the source had moved. A cold and damp chill descended her spine, even on that warm day. She tried to act as though everything was fine. Priya noticed the expression of worry on Nisha's face.
What's wrong, Mom?
Nisha focused on the data and ignored Priya.
Mommy?
Oh, I'm sorry, Pri. Let me send out this post and you'll understand why I'm worried. Latest Reddit data indicates the direction of the sounds is moving towards Mars. Is Earth the next planet in this sequence?
Pri, what worries me is the source intentionally changed direction to move closer to Mars.
Mars is at nearly a 60-degree angle in the sky compared to Jupiter. This shows intent and the ability to travel at great speeds. Priya, Sophie, and Amy turned to each other, but said nothing. Sophie realized she was squeezing Priya's arm and let go, leaving a handprint.
Don't worry, Nisha said, trying in vain to assuage their fears.
This is exciting! Nisha relayed what she learned to the DHS. Quinn called everyone to eat an early dinner. The school bus arrived on schedule, and Sanjay walked in the door.
Hi, Mom. Can I quit school and be homeschooled?
Did they bully you again? I'll kick their...
Priya, Nisha said.
Sanjay continued. They bullied me as usual, but now they're bullying this kid who talks about the voices. They won't leave him alone. He ran out of the classroom and left the school. Nobody knows where he is. I hate those jerks. I don't want to go to school anymore.
Sorry, Sanjay, Quinn said. For the time being, you need to stay in this school. It's the best school for you.
Can Sophie and Amy stay for dinner? Priya said. It's okay with their parents.
Quinn glanced at Nisha.
You're always welcome here, he said.
Sophie's parents are going to visit relatives back east for a while. Can she stay with us while they're gone? It's boring back there.
Quinn and Nisha glanced at each other and nodded.
Sure, Nisha said.
They ate, discussing the events of the day. Priya, Sophie, and Amy were giggling and talking quietly.
What's so funny? Nisha said.
What if they're like an alien fungus and they turn us into zombies like those zombie ants living in the tropics? Priya said.
And we walk around with an alien fungus sticking out of the top of our heads like those ants doing what the fungus wants?
That's not real. There's no such thing as zombie ants, silly, Quinn said.
It's true, Daddy. Look it up. The fungus infects the ants, and the ants do what the fungus needs to reproduce. The ants are real zombies, and not just ants.
She's right, Quinn, Nisha said.
I don't believe that.
She leaned over and whispered into his ear.
Quinny!
Quinn shook his head. He liked her playfulness, but he didn't want to fall for another one of her pranks. He asked his agent and found information about zombie ants. He stared in disbelief.
You're right, Pri. There really are zombie ants. I'm outnumbered in this house.
Me too, Sanjay said.
Life takes many forms here on Earth, Nisha said.
Who knows what's out there? That's why I've been excited to be looking for life on Mars. Who knows what we'll find when we...
Guys? Quinn said.
They're zoning out again, Dad, Sanjay said.
Nisha, Priya, and Sophie were in a trance for at least 30 seconds. Amy stared at them, unaffected. Nisha snapped out of the trance first and exhaled violently.
Oh, that was the most frightening one yet.
She looked over at Priya and Sophie, but they were still in a trance.
Girls, she said.
After about 30 more seconds, which seemed like an eternity, they also regained consciousness.
What happened? Quinn said.
Priya got up and ran around the table to Nisha.
Mom, my heart is racing.
What's happening? Quinn said, glancing at Nisha.
I felt they were flying by Mars. Did you get the same impression, Pri?
Yeah, Mom.
I imagine Mars, too, and a huge canyon, Sophie said.
Mars does have big canyon in real life, Amy said. This is really happening.
Sorry, Quinn, I gotta go find out what's going on, Nisha said.
The situation might be like this for a while. Sorry. Nisha ran into her computer room with Priya, Sophie, and Amy close behind.
The transmissions are coming from the direction of Mars. Many people describe this as the loudest and most intense event yet.
Yeah, it was, Priya said.
Nisha posted, latest Reddit data indicates the sounds or voices originate from Mars or nearby. I'll be working with the US government to determine the origin. Priya pointed to the screen.
Mom, 2 million people are in your community now.
She turned to Sophie and Amy. I have a famous mom.
I'm not a celebrity. I'm a scientist. I don't want attention.
You're a celeb, Priya said. You need to take some old school selfies for your fans.
You guys are silly. I'm not doing that. Let me work now. Go on.
Midnight came and went. The kids slept in the master bedroom in sleeping bags on the floor. They had a fitful night's sleep with no major interruptions. The next morning, Quinn made breakfast. Everyone sat down to eat.
Maybe that's the end of it, he said.
You guys didn't complain about voices all night.
Yay, Priya and Sophie said simultaneously.
Let me look, Nisha said. She browsed her Reddit stream. Nisha frowned as she read the posts.
Sorry, guys, we were on the wrong side of the planet to receive them. Two new occurrences of the voices happened a few hours apart. They're louder than ever.
She did a quick calculation.
They don't seem to be near Mars anymore. They're moving, but I'm not sure where they're going. I hope my guess is wrong.
Mom?
What, Pri?
I feel weak. Can we stay home from school today?
Nisha turned to Quinn and walked over to him. What do you think? Can they stay home?
I love you, Nisha whispered softly in his ear.
Okay, Quinn said. I'm such a sucker.
Fine, I'll keep an eye on them. You can stay home too, Sanjay.
Yes, they all said at once. Today is my last day at Caltech. My 3-day career is ending. I better get going, Nisha said, smiling valiantly.
Be careful, they all said.
I will, Nisha said as she walked out the door. She walked into the noisy and overcrowded auditorium. Even faculty members were present. Her adrenaline was flowing, and she felt no anxiety at all.
Okay, everyone, settle down, she said, looking over the huge crowd. I want to make some announcements.
Silence took hold.
This will be my last day at Caltech for a while, whispers spread across the room. I'll be working with people in our government to learn more about the phenomenon of the voices. They seem to be real, and they were last located somewhere around Mars. Now they're heading somewhere else, maybe to Earth, but I don't know for sure yet.
Mr. Kepler stood up and back.
So, they are indeed coming to enslave humankind?
This time, his interruption didn't receive the same carefree laughter as before. A few giggled nervously.
Mr. Kepler, this is no longer funny.
He sat down, sheepishly.
I'm still not sure who or what they are. I find no evidence other than the sounds in the minds of millions and the views of our local planets. The pattern has changed. I slept fairly well last night, and the voices didn't return this morning. However, the voices have returned on the other side of the world. Tonight, the voices might return to this area.
A student in the front row raised his hand. Could this be an elaborate prank played on the entire world? At first, we thought you were pranking us.
I don't think so,
despite the fact I've lived my life with the dream of finding extraterrestrial life, this isn't how I wish to encounter it. I wanted to learn about extraterrestrial life at the end of a microscope. This situation appears real to me. It's too big to be a practical joke. It's impossible to keep 90 million conspirators under wraps. There's no way to simulate signals from off the planet and have the origin travel so quickly across the solar system. However, I still don't know who or what is causing this. Another student raised her hand. What if they're real biological aliens and they visit the Earth? What should we do? Nisha paused. She had considered this possibility for years, and now it might be for real. As I mentioned, any species who manages to visit us will be far more technologically advanced than us. The closest habitable planet is more than 20 light years away. They can zip between planets in our solar system like a cruise ship between islands. My advice is to do nothing to provoke them. If we were to shoot first, they might decide to eliminate us as we might do to a dangerous animal species. Be careful and don't panic. This might be nothing at all. It might only be a probe. This effect might be some type of hysteria triggered by energy emissions of some sort. I'm not sure yet. When will you be back? A student said. I want to continue teaching here as soon as this event is over. Join my Nisha Astro community on Reddit and you'll know what I know. I promise. I'll give updates as often as I can. The official protocol for SETI is to release all relevant information in the event of a discovery because the world has the right to know. Nisha said goodbye and walked off the stage. She exited the buzzing auditorium with dozens of students following her. She walked to her car and waved goodbye, wondering if she was doing the right thing. As she traveled home, she listened to a headline about the dream phenomenon for the first time on the National Public Radio podcast. NPR reporter. Last night, the voices grew louder in Asia. People reported dreaming about Mars. Reports on Reddit tell of voices returning to people in Ireland after 12 hours of silence. The voices travel around the world once per day. Soon, we may hear them in the U.S. once again. Nisha returned home. Quinn and Sanjay sat watching Reddit with rapt attention. What's happening? Nisha said. Nobody replied at first. Oh, hi, Nish, Quinn said. We're following the latest developments. Some people in Nova Scotia heard the voices a minute ago. I think they're headed this way. You might be right, Quinn. Let me do a few calculations. She summoned her agent. Sure enough, the voices were rising in the east like an advancing sunrise. The direction has changed again. No planets are near my estimated direction. The voices continue to get louder and more frequent. She posted. The sounds moved again and are rising on the U.S. and Canadian East Coast now. They're getting louder and more frequent. Nisha read a message from NPR asking her to be a guest, ASAP. She replied. Within minutes, she spoke on the podcast, which was streamed worldwide. NPR interviewer. Dr. Chandra. I'm glad you could be on the show on such short notice. We've given the audience information about your background and what you've discovered about the voices thus far. Is anything happening right now? Nisha. Yes, the voices are returning to the U.S. and Canadian East Coast. The timing of the transmissions from space is random, other than they're becoming more frequent. I'm unsure about who or what they are. They may be biological, machine, a hybrid of the two, or the manifestation of some other phenomenon. We don't know. I want to tell your listeners not to contact them or provoke them if this represents a biological life form. Be careful. After 15 minutes, the interview ended. Nisha and the kids browsed Reddit. Awesome, Mom, Priya said. Nisha Astro has over 3 million members. Aren't you excited? I'm not excited about the number of members, Pri. I'm happy because I might be able to educate more people about the wonders of the universe. I'm nervous about posting to so many people. I'll get over it. I'm going to send one now. Nisha posted. Sounds are heard on the U.S. East Coast next. They may be heard on the West Coast after sunset. After dinner, darkness settled in over them. Mom, Priya said. Can Amy stay over tonight? It's okay with her parents. Sure, Pri. She can stay since Sophie will be here for 2 weeks. Would you guys like to use my new telescope? There's a full moon tonight after sunset. Sure, Sophie said. I've never seen a real telescope. Me too, Amy said. But it's so weird looking.
Yes, it has a quantum phase sensor. It needs no lens. The sensor detects the angle and other properties of each photon striking it and calculates an image from the data.
I've seen those in little cameras, but not a big telescope like this, Amy said.
Nisha felt excited to show the girls her new telescope, which arrived the past week. She calibrated it, but she hadn't found the time to use it.
First, let me check Reddit again, Nisha said. I'll make some new calculations. Then we can check out the telescope.
A few minutes later, Nisha posted, latest sounds detected on U.S. East Coast, the loudest transmission yet. West Coast soon. Nisha called Quinn over to the computer, chuckling at her Reddit feed.
A religious group thinks the voices only come to some people because they're the chosen ones. I guess I'm one of the chosen. Nish, you're always my chosen one. You're mine too, she said as she hugged him.
Nisha walked into the backyard and called everyone out.
Mom, the rising moon is huge. Can we look at it first?
Not yet, Pri, Nisha said. I'm going to check out Mars first to make some adjustments, and then we can turn to the moon.
Nisha made some final adjustments. Mars appeared sharp on the screen considering the instability of Earth's atmosphere on a clear night. The sensor made rapid adjustments to compensate for the instability. Priya looked closely at the screen.
It's so red. I noticed some spots of blue, though.
The color is mostly red because the soil on Mars contains a lot of oxidized iron, Amy said. Some of the iron isn't oxidized, and the blue iron sand dunes get sculpted by the wind.
What's the big streak across the middle of the planet?
That's Valles Marineris, Amy said. It's the Grand Canyon of Mars. It's 5 times deeper than the Grand Canyon and 10 times longer.
Why is the canyon so deep? Wouldn't the sides cave in?
The gravity on Mars is less than 40% of Earth, Amy said. Canyons are deeper and mountains are higher. The tallest mountain on Mars is about 3 times the height of Mount Everest above sea level.
Can I see it, Pri? Sophie said.
Sure.
What's all the white stuff on the top of Mars?
That's ice on the North Pole, Amy said. Is it like our North Pole?
No, Amy said. At our North Pole in the winter, water, snow, and ice exist on top of an ocean for part of the year. On Mars, there's carbon dioxide and water frost on top of land. About 2% of the topsoil is water. Therefore, it's more like our South Pole, where there's land, only colder.
You're a genius, Amy. You know everything without any agents, Priya said. Priya checked her pulse.
Mom, my heart is beating fast. It's 120 and I'm doing nothing. Can we check out the moon now?
You sure are persistent. Why?
I can't explain it. I feel sick to my stomach. I want to see the moon.
What does the moon have to do with your stomach?
I'm not sure. Please let me look. Sorry, Sophie.
Okay, Pri, hold on a second. Sophie pulled herself away from the screen of the telescope, which Nisha pointed towards the moon using the telescope app on her eyepiece. Priya peered into it.
I never realized how many mountains are on the moon.
Why are there thousands of craters everywhere? People rarely talk about craters on the Earth.
Nisha smiled.
Amy, do you want to tell her why?
Sure.
That's because there's no atmosphere around the moon. Therefore, meteors don't break up in the atmosphere before impact like they do here on Earth.
When bigger ones do strike the Earth, erosion from wind and rain along with plant life gradually wear down and hide the crater. On the moon, a crater can remain untouched for billions of years. Those footprints the astronauts made in 1969 are as pristine as if they were made yesterday, though falling dust from space has eroded them a bit.
Mom?
What, Pri? What's the name of the little star near the moon?
What star?
Priya pointed to the left side of the moon on the screen.
The little star over there, she said.
She stopped looking at the screen and looked directly at the moon.
Oh, I can only view the star in the telescope because it's small.
Okay, let me look, Nisha said.
She felt pleased because the girls showed interest in astronomy, whereas she dreamed of having a child pursue astronomy. Quinn and Sanjay showed no interest at all. They were inside playing Scrabble 3D. Now she had friends with her. She watched Priya closely for a long time. For the first time, she saw Priya as a young woman, not her child.
Mom, are you look?
Oh, sorry, Nisha said.
That's strange. Stars don't have this appearance. It must be a satellite.
She looked closely for several seconds.
Yes, it's moving slowly. Let me identify the satellite.
Nisha activated her satellite locator agent.
No satellites are in the charts in that location right now, but there's the new satellite the Chinese launched yesterday. It's not on my charts yet.
Mom, I'm sick to my stomach.
Me too, Sophie said.
Nisha continued watching the satellite.
Nisha tried to change the subject. I hope you're not sick because of my cooking, Nisha said as she smiled.
How are you, Amy?
I'm fine. I like the dinner. I love the Brussels sprouts.
Priya held her stomach.
I don't think dinner is causing this. My stomach ache began suddenly a few minutes ago.
Me too, Sophie said, and I'm dizzy.
I feel a bit queasy myself, Nisha said. I'm watching the satellite slowly cross in front of the moon. Usually satellites close to the Earth pass by the moon quickly.
They watched in silence for a couple of minutes.
Now it's finally moved past the right side of the moon and the speed is decreasing. Hold on.
Nisha messaged a few astronomer friends in Chile to get them to look. She continued watching. Soon she got a reply from one of them.
I can't identify your object. I'll keep looking. There's no record of any satellite being in this area right now. It must be near the moon because we're hundreds of miles apart, but the object was just in front of the moon from both our perspectives.
Then she remembered the Reddit data.
Pri, I realized something.
What, Mom?
My Reddit data predicted the voices returned here on the West Coast at the same time the moon rose an hour ago. Now I'm seeing this satellite where none should be.
Silence.
Mom, my heart is racing fast enough already.
Mine too, Sophie said.
Don't feel worried, Nisha said. She calmly looked through the narrow view eyepiece. She held the arm of the chair firmly.
It could be a coincidence. I need tangible evidence. I'm watching this thing, which is slowing down from our perspective. It could be an asteroid close to the moon. It's moving too slowly to be in orbit around the Earth.
The distance must be great. Don't worry.
Priya looked through the eyepiece.
Mom, it's them, Priya said. I'm positive.
I agree, Sophie said.
Them? How do you know? Nisha said.
The voices are quiet right now, but somehow I know they're nearby, Priya said. There's a background high static noise, like ringing in my ears, but no voices.
My stomach is queasier now. I'm going to be sick, Sophie said.
Guys, I know you're worried, and the voices or sounds have been around for a few days now.
However, there's no concrete evidence the little object we're looking at near the moon has anything to do with them, Nisha said.
I feel a little better now, Priya said.
Nisha looked at the screen.
It's gone. I guess the satellite or asteroid went behind the moon because of the moon's gravity. The satellite may reemerge from the backside of the moon in 3 or 4 minutes if it's entering orbit.
I'm going inside to monitor what's happening on Reddit.
They sprinted into Nisha's computer room. Priya and Sophie followed close behind.
Reddit seems to be quiet right now in regard to the voices. Everything seems normal, Nisha said.
I don't feel normal, and neither does Sophie, Priya said.
Wait, I knew it. The words queasy and stomach are trending now. 3 minutes later, they walked outside to the telescope.
I don't see anything, Nisha said, appearing relieved.
Maybe we observed an asteroid, which might still be behind the moon.
I'm going to keep watching. I figure if it's in orbit, it will emerge from behind the moon in less than a minute.
The minute lasted for what seemed like an eternity. Nisha squinted. Priya held the arm of the chair tightly.
Ugh, the object has returned from behind the moon, Nisha whispered.
Mom, this is freaking me out.
What is this? The static is back.
I'm not sure, Pri. I'm going to do some calculations because I know the distance.
Nisha watched closely. About 30 minutes later, the object passed in front of the moon again. She timed how long the object took to pass in front of specific points on the moon.
Oh my, she whispered.
What, Mommy?
According to my calculations, the object is more than 20 miles in diameter.
Pri, your hands are cold.
I can't help it. I know the voices come from the object.
So,
you might be right, but let's take things one step at a time.
Nisha ran back into her computer room with the kids following like ducklings.
I need to tell the DHS people about this.
After she alerted the DHS, she posted, a new object is orbiting the moon, 20 miles over 32 kilometers in diameter. This is no prank. Investigate, it's correlated with the sounds. Within minutes, Reddit volume doubled.
more than 1,000 new members joined the Nisha Astro community each minute. A few minutes later, astronomers confirmed Nisha's calculations. An hour later, her DHS eyepiece app received an incoming transmission notification. Nisha answered on her computer. General Sherman appeared on the screen.
"Dr. Chandra, the president wishes to speak with you," the kids whispered to each other.
"Okay, kids, please leave the room," Nisha said. They walked out of the room, leaving the door cracked as President Maria Martinez appeared on the screen.
"Dr. Chandra, I'm pleased to meet you," she said.
"I'm excited to meet you, Madam President. I'm honored," Nisha said.
"I've been watching you on Reddit for some time now," President Martinez said.
"I've enjoyed your perspective on extraterrestrial life. Now we may be about to make contact with someone or something from another world. I need to know what to expect. I need advice. What can you tell me?" Quinn, Priya, Sophie, Amy, and Sanjay huddled on the other side of the cracked open door, listening quietly.
"First of all, nobody knows what to expect," Nisha said. "I've participated in the creation of protocols to be followed in the event of extraterrestrial contact. They state that any information found should be shared and no reply to an alien species should be made without worldwide consensus. The problem is, consensus by whom? I thought if we get a signal from a distant world, we should not reply. I think we should lie low because only recently have we emerged as a technological civilization. Chances are they'll be advanced compared to us. In this case, they're bold enough to not lie low. Of course, anyone with a radio transmitter might reply, so protocols will be ineffective."
"That makes sense," the president said.
"Yes, but now this potential civilization has discovered us first. This body orbiting the moon might be a probe, or it might contain millions of human-sized beings. All we perceive are voice-like static in our heads and vague dream-like images. These may or may not come from the object. Regardless, we can't hide our planet anymore. We must be careful."
"I agree," the president said. "I wouldn't want to provoke them. What do you think we should do?"
"First, we should assess their technology and their intent. This thing has orbited the moon twice. They traveled through our solar system like tourists on a Mediterranean cruise. They traveled from Saturn to Jupiter and on to Mars and the moon in a few days, in a ship 20 miles in diameter. Those planets aren't aligned right now, so they traveled an extremely long distance. They didn't use gravity to slingshot their way from one planet to the next. This indicates an extremely advanced level of technology and energy use compared to our own."
"I understand," the president said. "What do you think about sending a mission into lunar orbit? A lunar station supply ship is set to launch shortly." Nisha took a drink of water.
"I think this would be good if you approach the spacecraft carefully. We can't hide anymore. This action will show them we can get off of this planet without being threatening."
"Thank you, Dr. Chandra," the president said. "I'll get back to you soon." They signed off. Nisha turned towards the door and smiled.
"Okay, guys, you can come out now."
The door opened and they rushed into the room in excitement.
"Mom, you hung with the president," Priya said.
"I'm proud of you," Quinn said. She smiled tightly. "Are they going to come here to Earth?" Priya said. Nisha wiped the hair from Priya's face.
"There's no way to know, Pri. This might be a probe. I think this is exciting."
Nisha didn't know how long she could keep up the facade of being calm and collected. She knew that they outclass us in every way. She considered the possibility that this may be the last normal day of life on Earth ever, but said nothing of it as she worked on the latest data.
"Okay, it's getting late. Time to go to sleep," Quinn said.
"Daddy, can we sleep in your room again?" Priya said.
Quinn glanced at Nisha. She agreed.
"Sure, Pri, get the sleeping bags."
They ran to the closet to get them.
"Quinn, I may appear on the outside as though this is fun and games, but this might be the biggest event in human history. I'm struggling to breathe."
"Yeah, I'm pretending as though it's nothing for the sake of the kids. Things might not turn out well for us. In the morning, pack some emergency things just in case we need to leave quickly. We could escape to the desert. Even though it's orbiting the moon, the spacecraft might be here in a few hours if they desire. I feel they could easily do us harm if they wished."
"What evidence do you have to support that conclusion?" Quinn said.
"Hey, that's my line."
"Yeah, now it's my turn to be the logical one. Well, what evidence do you have?"
Nisha wiped the perspiration from her forehead. "The only thing I know for sure is they're here.
They traveled at least 20 light years if they came from the closest habitable planet. That feat alone puts them in another league compared to us. They toured our solar system as though it was nothing. Their ship is 20 miles in diameter. My guts tell me that we're nothing compared to them. Quinn smiled.
Why would you smile about that? Nisha asked.
Guts? You're talking like me now. Excellent. Not everything can be sorted and categorized into neat little compartments. Believe me, Quinn, this does fit into neat little compartments. We just need to identify the new compartments.
Niche, you need to admit that your logical world is upside down. You sound like a mystic with all this talk about hearing voices and seeing visions.
There's got to be a rational explanation for those effects. I'm sure I'll find it. I'll admit that I feel uneasy not being able to explain any of this. I don't have the power to know how to go about finding the answers.
Quinn smiled.
Now that's the Nisha we know and love. You're breathing so quickly. Don't hyperventilate. It's the fear of the unknown. Not everything can be explained. Some things are mysterious and inexplicable.
I disagree, Nisha said. I think most things can be explained. We don't have the answers yet.
Many people find comfort in the unexplained for some reason, but the fact is, the universe is a neutral place that can be fully explained. Our species is not guaranteed to survive. The Earth could be wiped out by a meteor, and nobody would save us. Remember that near miss a couple of years ago. If it passed by a few hours earlier, we'd not be here talking about it. The universe existed before us and would continue unchanged if we disappeared.
You sound so mechanical. You make the universe sound so cold and unforgiving, Quinn said.
It is. It's also exciting and full of discoveries waiting for us. Who knows what we'll find? Who knows what we'll discover about ourselves in the process?
I think you need a spiritual practice.
Quinn, discovering the true nature of things is my spiritual practice. Also, I meditate every day. I'm going to sleep.
Giving up so easily.
No, you pest. We need to sleep.
They walked into the bedroom. Priya, Sophie, and Amy were talking quietly in their sleeping bags on the floor. They said goodnight but didn't get much sleep.